Hello and welcome to the Built to Scale podcast, a podcast from Sattva where we explore the stories, the systems, the turning points behind businesses that are built to last. I'm your host, Maggie Olson, and each week I interview and talk with entrepreneurs, founders, and industry experts to uncover what it really takes to grow a business without losing yourself in the process. Because scaling isn't always about working harder or adding more tools. A lot of the time, it's about building the right systems, making intentional decisions, and creating a business that really supports the life you're trying to build. So let's go ahead and get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Built to Scale podcast. So today I have a question for everyone who's listening, and that is, how do you know when it's time to leave something that is working? So most entrepreneurs spend years trying to build successful businesses, and very few are willing to walk away from one. And today, my guest did exactly that. So after spending about 6 years building a thriving astrology business, my guest today, Octavia, she made the decision to completely rebrand into manifestation, female embodiment, nervous system healing, and transformational coaching, even though her previous business was generating consistent clients and revenue. For her, this decision, it's a decision that could have cost her everything. Instead, it wound up doubling her revenue. I'm so excited. So Octavia, welcome to the Built to Scale podcast. I would love for you to introduce yourself to everyone who's listening.
Okay, so hello everyone. And well, first, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm Octavia. I am a feminine energy embodiment coach and a previous astrologer for about 6 years. And yeah, I'm very excited to be here and let's do this.
Yeah, awesome. So I also know from my own pivots that so many entrepreneurs kind of become prisoners in their businesses that they realize that they no longer love. So oftentimes, you know, they stay because it's profitable or familiar or because that's kind of what people know them for doing. Like that's their thing. But growth, I feel like sometimes really asks us to become someone different. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I would love to hear your reflections on some of that change. What did that do for you as you shifted and pivoted?
So it was maybe one of the most difficult decisions I've had to make because I love being an astrologer and it became almost like an identity, you know? So most of my clients know me as the astrologer and most of them didn't have one reading with me. They had two, they had three, and even some of them had packages with me. So it was so hard to let go of the identity, honestly. And the second reason it was so hard, it's because it was my income, it was generating revenue. And I was like, what are you doing? You know, you can't let go. You know, that part of me, you know, my ego part is like, yo, we have bills to pay. We have rent. What are you doing? But I felt it, you know, I felt it in my heart that I was meant to expand. I was meant to scale on another business. And so I trusted my intuition, I trusted my gut feeling, and I let it go. And I'm so grateful I did because it was almost putting me in a box that I wanted to grow from. And now it's like there's so much more freedom, so much more creativity, and also a new identity. And this business aligns with this new identity. And I'm so happy I, you know, took the risk. Yeah.
And I think it's important to honor that, right? When you are in your business and you're successful and you have those feelings of like, it's not fulfilling anymore. What if I did this other thing? But then there's sometimes that guilt that surfaces, right? Like, I'm making money, I'm paying my bills. Like, I'm still going to have these things that I have to do. But like, this thing keeps calling to me. I'm curious for you, since you were an entrepreneur, you built that business before, in those years of building, what did that teach you about entrepreneurship that you brought from your first business into your next business?
Mm-hmm. So first, I'm so happy that I have 6 years of, you know, trials. I learned so much. And I'm going to say that the first months of being an astrologer was not the easiest. I did not have a lot of clients. But there's something about you keep going, you keep showing up, you stay consistent. And I think what I've learned so from my first business is, yeah, consistency. That's the only thing that differentiates me from someone that is listening that wants to start a business. Mm-hmm. I have nothing more than consistency. That's all. So yeah, I feel like I learned to have a routine as well, how to work, how to have a solid routine, and also marketing, what works for me, you know. There is some things I've learned that did not work for me in my business from other maybe coaches, from other business owners and entrepreneurs. And this is something I learned as well, is that there is freedom in your business. You can apply others' lessons, others' journeys and advice. But at the end of the day, when you're going to be alone and you have your meeting with a client and you have to show up, I swear you're going to forget everything you learned from somebody else, and you're going to just jump in and you have to improvise.
Yeah. You know? So yes.
Improvising is a great skill that I don't think a lot of people talk about, but being so good at improvising saved my life. Yeah. I swear, my first reading, I felt such like an imposter. And so I was like, okay, this is it. You keep this feeling of being an imposter, or you just jump in and you improvise. So I improvised and I loved it. And from that, I love improvising so much. So I think, yeah, this is some of the things that I've learned that I apply still in my second business.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important, bringing in the consistency, but also being able to improvise, because you're right. You can take all of the coaching programs in the world and you're still, just like you said, you're going to be alone with that client. You're not going to have someone there holding your hand. So you have to learn what works for you. So I love that. And I think something that really fascinated me when you applied for the podcast, as I was reading through what you wrote, you weren't leaving a failing business. And I think that is something that so many people will go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you would leave that. But I'm curious, did you feel like a defining moment when you were like, ooh, this business isn't me anymore, like I'm meant to move? What did that moment feel like when you knew, like, okay, it's I'm being called elsewhere?
Uh-huh. So I had this feeling maybe 3 months before doing it. So I had like those 3 months, I was still like, should I not, because I was still working, I still had clients, I still had bookings, you know, so I could not like just leave it right there when I had that feeling. But I think the defining moment just came in. I think timing, you know, you can still like debate in your head, but when you know, you know. And I know when I hear this, when people say it, I'm like, what? What do you mean? When I know, I know. But like, it's like when you know, you know. And when I knew I had to, I flipped everything. Like, I literally like moved cities. I'm in my new house here. I moved cities. It's like a new, identity was calling me. And it is so aligned with this move because I moved here to the city. I was living back. I was living in a village, like in nature. I wanted to have this experience, you know? And then I was like, yeah, this is the moment. I am moving back to the city. This is the perfect timing to focus on this new chapter of my life. And obviously you have to have some savings. You can't just be like, okay, I have zero money in my account, but let's trust my intuition. You have to be a little bit smart and grounded, obviously. So I made sure I had the space and the financial freedom to, make this move, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And that brings up, it actually brings up my next question, like perfectly timing here. So you talked a little bit about, some of those fears, needing to have the stability. I'm curious, how did you, in that transition, how did you balance intuition with strategy? And then how did you kind of manage or deal with or just kind of handle those fears as you were making those transitions? Like, how did you know that you needed to keep going?
Mm-hmm. So I think it aligns exactly with my work because I am, like I said, a feminine energy embodiment, and it comes with the whole work behind it, like the whole work around your beliefs, around your nervous system, how to, ground yourself, how to, not react from what's coming into your life, and also stay grounded in your body and regulate your nervous system and do not let those fears or maybe limiting beliefs make you, feel unsettled or make decisions in a rush, But I'm also you have to be smart as well, obviously. You're not just just going in and you have no savings, nothing. You have to, like I said, timing. You have to make sure your intention aligns with, with a little bit what your current situation. So obviously if my business was not that successful, I'm sure that I wouldn't be able to make this transition. And I'm sure a lot of people, maybe some people are listening, did transition from a failing business to another business that is maybe successful now. And I really applaud you because this takes so much courage, because I think it was a little bit easy for me because I think everything was ready for me, I had the savings, I had the move. So it was easier for me to be like, oh, okay, I'm safe. I can try this. But for someone listening and you had nothing and you still transitioned, I applaud you because, wow, it takes so much courage to do that. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, on that topic of shifting your business. Now, I know for me, rebranding sounds so exciting, but I also know because I've pivoted it a number of times in my own businesses. I also know that operationally, right, it's basically like starting over because you're creating new messaging, offers, yes, content, client journey. So I'm curious, can you walk us through a little bit of what had to change and then what surprised you about the transition?
Oh my God, like everything had to change. everything. The way I was working, the content I was creating, the way I was marketing myself and I was selling myself. Like it was like, and also like seeing it from a new perspective, like seeing it from a new business, I was like, oh, I see my mistakes, what I was doing here and that, and what wasn't working maybe, but also things that I kept from my previous business that still works now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everything changed. Like I love the content that I'm creating more now. It's more, so much more aligned with my voice and who I am. So I felt like being an astrologer, I could not talk about anything else but astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not very much like aligning with me because I am so diverse. I'm someone that loves talking about so many topics. You know, I'm also a singer, I'm also a writer. So I am also like I love a lot of things. Like I cannot have one thing for the rest of my life. This is not who I am. And I felt like astrology was not aligning with my truth and my voice. So now I have much more freedom to express my voice and mm-hmm. what I believe in. Like compared to astrology, when it's like it's knowledge that is very much something you studied, something you brought from books maybe or astrologers, you know. But here it's like in my business, there's my feminine energy business. It's much more my knowledge, my teachings, who I am.
Yeah.
So it's so much more beautiful, and I feel so much more aligned with it. From the practical point of view. So yeah, like the content is much more, I would say, let's say more grounded. Again, like it's more grounded. It's more, it talks to a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first week, the first month of trying this content strategy, I had so much more followers, which was such a beautiful like sign that I am on the right path. So I had I had a lot of feedback, you know, people following me, people being interested. So yeah, I'm very much happy with the results.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that is just a true testament to following that that kind of like dream, right? That itch, that scratch of like, oh, this other thing is pulling me and it keeps coming up. It keeps recurring. And what if I just tried it, right? Like on the other, like, right? Like on the flip side of taking the chance and giving it a try, like just so many more opportunities, it sounds like, have opened up for you. So I'm curious now on the Built to Scale podcast, we talk about some of the bottlenecks that happen. So what do you feel like in your business right now? What feels like a bottleneck that you're kind of coming up against or that you see recurring?
Mm-hmm. So it's like a block in my business right now.
Yeah.
So let me think. A block. Yeah, definitely scaling my revenue. So I would say I would love to scale more. So yeah, to 10K, to 20, to 50, why not? 100.
Like, yeah.
There is no limits. Like honestly, like being an entrepreneur should make you have so much freedom. You should never say, oh, I'm at 20, this is the limit, and I should, you know, stay here. You should always want more and always scale. But obviously, it's not like something that will happen overnight.
Right.
So I would say the block that I have now is to scale, definitely to scale to 10K.
Mm-hmm.
That's the that's the goal right now.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that's important to have that, right? Because it's, yes, it's a bottleneck, but it's also one of those bottlenecks that becomes a goal, right? Because it's something that, okay, I'm at this stage and I want to be at this stage. And then like there's room for growth, right? There's growth, there's expansion. And I just think it's such a beautiful way to look at, you know, bottlenecks. Sometimes people are like, they can be like, oh my gosh, I have all these bottlenecks. But really, it starts to become these growth opportunities, which in business, I think is so, so important.
Yeah, you know, I love business so much. I love being an entrepreneur, and honestly, like having the freedom to do like to be your own boss, to wake up in the morning, show up whenever you want, work the way you want. Like these blocks, honestly, they are like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
it's not like that could be worse. You could be showing up to a 9 to 5 right now. And you know, there is a boss that literally controls your whole life and your whole time. And yeah, so having blocks like this, it's like, okay, that challenge is actually such a good opportunity for you to grow as a person, grow as an entrepreneur. And yeah, it teaches you so much, like strength and being resourceful. You know, I'm thinking about my, you know, all the blocks I had and how I scaled. And for 6 years, yeah, I grew so much, you know, that I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that it brought me so much strength into my life. And I use this even in my personal life, even like other problems I have in my life. I use like how I approach my business is how I approach everything in my life. Like, yay, like a chicken, I'm growing. But yeah, I understand. In the moment, you're like,
And I love that way of looking at it as, you know, like everything is figure outable, right? You can figure out all of these things. You know? So what is like a system or a habit or a process that has had a big impact on your business or the way you run your business?
Okay. Oh, so I would say definitely my routine. Like my routine, like I have literally, I'm a very routine person, and I noticed like every successful person has the same. You know, they have their routine and their non-negotiables. Their weekly non-negotiables. It's like I'm doing this even if I don't care what's happening this week. It's like you show up even if you're tired. You still like, for example, the work. Let's say you promised yourself you're gonna work out 2 times this week. You still show up even if it's 10 minutes. Okay? So I have my weekly program of like my content, what I'm posting this week. Like for example, every day there is like, for example, I'm posting this or I'm messaging these people, I am posting in these groups, I am doing this podcast today. You know, there's always like Monday it's podcast, Tuesday it's sales, Friday it's live. And I do this like every week, and I noticed it's saving my business, it's saving my life. So having a to-do list every single day helps me so much. Like to like my brain is less foggy. I don't have like, you know, my thoughts all over the place. And yeah, it brings up again the consistency, because having a beautiful idea, creating an offer is nice, you know, but if you don't show up constantly, and probably you know about this, you know that you have to wake up every day and you have to show up and you have to post and say, hey, I have this offer, anyone interested? You know, you have to show up. And even at times it's a little bit difficult because you don't see the results right away, you still show up. Yeah, be the Lulu, be crazy, you know, be crazy. Even if there is no one, no, literally nobody showed up at my live, my first live, nobody showed up. You know, I could have just been like, I don't care, man. Like I'm not doing this. No, nobody's interested. You still show up. Okay.
Yeah, and I love that advice because I think, you know, like when we think about little kids, you didn't learn to roll over without practicing and doing it over and over and over. You didn't learn to crawl without trying many, many times. You didn't learn to walk, ride a bike, talk, all of that stuff without continually showing up and practicing. And I think, you know, some entrepreneurs, it is hard those first times when you're like, I'm going to go live, I'm going to do this, I'm going to post this. And you're like, this is amazing. And it's crickets, right? And then you're like, oh no, what if I'm a failure? But then, you know, showing up, and essentially you're creating self-trust, right? You're creating and growing that trust within yourself. And I think there's so much of that that matters in entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is hard, right? Like, you have to show up for yourself, right? Every single day, even when no one else is showing up for you. So I'm curious, as you've grown in your journey as an entrepreneur, as you've created your businesses, you've moved out of one into another, what is something that you've intentionally stopped doing that has actually allowed you to grow?
I love this question. Oh my God. Something that I stopped doing that helped me grow. It's a little bit of a tricky one. Let me think. Because you think of, oh, what did you do to scale your business? But you don't think about what did you stop doing. Right. And honestly, I would say stopped listening to my fears. Stopped listening to my doubts. This is like the less practical thing, obviously. Yeah. It's like stopped also fear, like listening to my fear of being like you see crickets, and sometimes it's like, I don't want, like you wake up the next day and you're like, I don't want to see crickets again. I'm not posting.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the hardest part, when there's this part of you that is like, I don't want to be an embarrassment anymore, you know? And,
right.
And you think, oh, especially because I had clients, I had people that already knew me as successful as the astrologer. And then when I, you know, moved to my second business and, you know, had to build everything from scratch, still had crickets in the beginning. So there was this part of me, I was like, oh my God, everyone thinks I'm crazy. Probably everyone thinks I lost my mind moving from astrologer to this business, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to let go of that. I had to be, you know, be like, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to this. And probably nobody thinks that. So stop.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It takes so much courage to, you know, confront your fears and that voice in your head that tries to stop you. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care, dude. I am young. We live once. And I wanted to do this business. I am living what I wanted, my manifestation, and I'm going to show up 100%. I don't care what anybody or you is saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good one, like from the non-practical side. Let's think about the practical side, like something I stopped doing. I would say the practical side is burning yourself out. This is the extremist like side, you know, when you're starting, maybe you're starting and you're really beating yourself up, you know, you're burning yourself, you're working too hard. This is not the way. Okay. We entrepreneurs work hard. It's true, but we don't burn ourselves. We don't kill ourselves to work. This is not how you make money, especially from a feminine energy embodiment coach. Nah. Dude, you don't do that. you work, you are consistent, but you also rest, you take care of yourself. And actually, the more you take care of yourself, the more you rest, the more money comes to you, the more opportunities and people come to you. Okay, you have to find balance, which is tricky in the beginning, but yeah,
I love that. And I can totally relate to, you know, what you're saying, especially about as you closed one business and moved into another. So several years ago in 2020, I had an I had a yoga studio, an in-person yoga studio. And, you know, in August or September of 2020, I decided, you know, it was getting too hard and I didn't love it anymore. So I closed it. I decided, you know what? I'm done with this chapter. I have to close. And I remember those feelings of I closed it. And then I was like, decided I was going to bring everything online, right? And that I was going to do coaching and a bunch of other things online. And I remember vividly having those thoughts of like, oh, people are going to think I'm such a fraud. What? People are going to think all these things. And it took me a long time, probably a solid 6 months to kind of like work through those fears. And, you know, like now on the backside of that, I'm able to look back and, you know, see like, oh, I didn't have to be so hard on myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now I can share that with others who are going through similar things. But I really resonate, you know, with what you said about like, oh, I still have to show up, even if I think other people think that thing, when I mean, yeah, really, they probably don't, right? Like those people, they probably aren't even really thinking about what you're doing, to be quite honest, you know?
Yeah. And also, I think it was so much harder for you because it was a physical place and we get attached to physical places. So I think it was a little bit like grieving, letting go of your studio, you know? Mm-hmm. I can imagine, you know, I probably would have cried.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were tears that were shed after all was said and done. There were many nights of like, oh, did I really do the right thing? Maybe I should reopen it. Maybe I should go back to that. Like, because it was making good money. But at the time, I was so burnt out having gone through all the ups and downs of COVID and just all of that, that it got to the other side. And I was like, I can't continue to exert that kind of energy. Like I needed rest and I needed to take care of myself for myself, but also for my family. You know, and I think there's a lot of like you said, there's a lot of power in rest and rejuvenation as a woman.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's also that thought that came to me was like, what if someone messaged me and they're like, oh, can I have a birth chart? Do you still do birth charts? And I'm like, oh my God, like how, like until now it didn't happen, but I'm like, do I say no? And also when I was creating my offer, my first offer, you know, I was like, do I include astrology? Do I let go of astrology completely? And yeah, I was like, I need a break from astrology because, I needed to completely shift because I knew if I included astrology, I would still have that identity. I would still go back. I knew it. Like I would still go back to doing astrology, you know, birth charts and stuff. So I had to completely like let go.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's okay to have these thoughts. It's totally normal. We shouldn't like be like, oh, it's gonna be all roses and now that you shifted and stuff. It's okay to doubt yourself. It's okay to have you know, these thoughts, but do not listen. Just do not act upon them. Continue on your plan. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we've talked a lot about different things that people can do, you know, as far as like self-trust and thoughts and shifting and all of that. But is there one thing that someone listening right now, if they haven't like grabbed a golden nugget yet in the episode, is there something that right now people listening could do this week to make their business or their life just feel lighter, maybe more ease?
Mm-hmm. So honestly, this question, I don't know why it made me feel so emotional because I'm thinking about everything in my life that led to where I am right now. And there is one quality, there is one thing that led to all of this, and it's taking risks. Because honestly, like, we have one life. You have one life, okay? And you cannot waste your time, maybe at a 9-to-5, or letting someone decide how you use your time, or how much you should be paid, when there is such an infinity of abundance. We live in such an abundant world. Okay, like I'm seeing people, like, it's crazy. There is people that have billions, right? And you are here telling me that you cannot do it. There is such an infinity of abundance. So if you can take anything from my journey, from this podcast, is take the risk. Okay, whatever you want to do, take the risk. I think this is a quality that I love in my life about me, is that I do not care. I just go. Whatever that feeling in my heart is telling me to do, I just do it. A little bit about my past. So I grew up in an abusive home. So until about maybe 16, 17, that's when, you know, I felt it, like, I need to move. And it was very young, you know, for someone like me, it was very young to decide this, but I just took the risk. I had no job, I had no savings, and I still, like, packed my things, and I never regretted it. Never, ever. Okay. Never in my life. So whatever it is you're listening, whatever you want to do, maybe you are in a toxic situation, maybe you are doubting your business, whatever it is, maybe you want to be to create art or whatever, and you're scared someone would not, you know, laugh at you, or maybe a family member, whatever. Do not care. Okay, like I said, we live once. This is your life, you decide, and do what makes you happy. Okay. That's it.
That's such powerful advice too, right? Like, leaning into that desire to move forward, to do those things. There's so much power in that. So something that I ask everyone who comes on the podcast is, what does built to scale mean to you?
Built to scale mean to me. I think it's just identity. I think it's your identity. It's in your identity. It's something. Yeah. It's something you need to have, especially as an entrepreneur. Like I said, you cannot be an entrepreneur and you're not meant to scale. You're not built to scale. Okay. I think every entrepreneur, all of us entrepreneurs, have this quality, which is we are built to scale in our business, in our life, and we have this hunger within us to be achievers, to lead people, to inspire people. So I think every entrepreneur should have this, and every entrepreneur should be, you know, meant to scale their business. They are built to scale.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so awesome. And as we wrap up the episode, so I'll include all of the show notes or all of the links to where people can connect with you in the show notes. Yeah. But I would love for you to share, what is the best way for people to connect with you, to get to know you, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, so you can contact me, or you can follow me on Instagram and my Facebook page. I work mostly on Facebook. I love connecting with people. I love messaging people. Like, most of the time, most of my sales, most of my clients, they come from conversations, which I love that, because I get to know them. They get to know me. We get to see if we are a good fit, and I get to talk to them. Like, what do you need? And is my offer made for you? Instead of, you know, a website, maybe it is a little bit more impersonal. People just don't know you very much, you know?
Right.
So I love that they can access my personal page. I feel like this is my website, you know? You can click, you can have everything, my content, my free resources, and my offer, which is called the Embodied Feminine. So this is a four-week program for women that helps them embody their feminine energy, work with their inner masculine, and also learn what are the four main blocks to, you know, be in your attractive magnetic self, and how you can use that in your business, actually, how you can make sales from that feminine energy. So yeah. I love this. I use my feminine energy all the time in my business. And yeah, it tripled my sales, all thanks to my inner masculine, my husband.
Yeah, I love that. That's so awesome. Yeah. All right. So we'll include all of those links down in the show notes. So you can go ahead and connect with Octavia. Perfect. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And as we wrap up this episode, this interview, thank you to everyone who is listening. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, leave a review, all of that good stuff, because all of that interaction helps this podcast reach everybody who needs to hear it. So as always, thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.